Good afternoon. Jesus loves Tuesdays. And he loves you. He's very grateful that you're here. I'm very grateful that you're here. Now I'm going to read a little bit more of the story. This is verse 27. This is Martha speaking in response to Jesus saying that he was the resurrection and the life. She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, even he who comes to the world." And when she had said this, she went away and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she arose quickly and was coming to him. And now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. The Jews then who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. And the word weep in all these places is the word wail. She wasn't just sobbing, she was wailing. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, "Behold, how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the one who was blind have kept this man also from dying?" And then Jesus, therefore, again, deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Just a simple word. Jesus had already, at the beginning of the story, when Martha and Mary sent a messenger to not just tell Jesus that their brother was sick, but to tell Jesus and to get him to come so that Jesus could come and heal Lazarus, keep him from dying. And when they first said that to Jesus, that, "Behold, the one whom you love is sick," Jesus made that statement, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God." And then later, in a verse or so after I just got through reading, as he was approaching the tomb, Martha reminded him that Jesus had been, that Lazarus had been dead for 4 days and his body would be smelling by then. And Jesus said again, "Did I not say to you, if you believe, you'd see the glory of God?" An interesting thing to me is that when Jesus came, and he waited 2 days to come, and he came, and by the time he got there, Lazarus is dead. When he came and Martha came out to him and made the statement, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Of course, Mary made the same statement also. And the language from when Mary said it was that she's repeated that over and over again in her sorrow. And so Jesus is dealing with or being confronted with the fact that, one, they're grieving and mourning loss, but they're also confused as to why Jesus didn't come and heal their brother. Jesus loved Lazarus. It says so at the very first of the story. Jesus certainly could have gotten there. On time, he could do supernatural stuff, and he certainly could have healed Lazarus. They had seen, as close friends, Jesus heal a lot of people, a lot of strangers. So surely he would come, and that was part of the appeal, the one whom you love. It's not just a stranger is sick. And so Jesus is dealing with their grieving, their confusion, their pain, even in terms of why didn't Jesus come, all kinds of stuff. And when Martha said to him, "Lord, if you had been come, my brother would not have died," and Jesus said, "Your brother will arise." And just before that, Martha said, "Lord, even now, if you ask God, the Father, he'll do anything." And then Jesus says, "Well, your brother is going to rise again." But Martha said, "Well, I know that in the resurrection, my brother's going to rise." So it's like she made this statement, "Lord, even now, if you pray," but then when Jesus said what he was going to do, raise Lazarus from the dead, it just went over her head. Because a lot of times we'll say, "Lord, I know you can do anything, Lord." But then we have the hardest time in the world believing when he promises he's going to do something. It seems to be illogical. But the point is that when Jesus responds, when she said, Lord, I know that my brother in the day, in the resurrection, is going to come alive again. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection. You're looking for a day, but I'm the resurrection and I'm the life. He said, and so the resurrection is here. Don't, you're waiting for something, but the resurrection is here. I'm the resurrection and the life. Now, what was Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, whenever I enter into any situation, whenever I come, whenever I show up, newness of life and always happens. New life always occurs. Resurrection always happens. And so later in the story, as Jesus is talking to Mary and he hears her wailing, the Jews around her that were wailing with her, and it says, and Jesus wept and was deeply troubled in his spirit. There's a couple of things, simple things, that the Lord ministered to me about this story this morning, and it's this. When Jesus, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, was born into this earth, then God took on humanity. And Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he didn't stop being human. He even told his disciples, here, touch the scars, touch this. And the scripture in the book of Revelation refers to Christ as the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So Jesus never gave up his humanity. He wasn't just human while he was on earth. And then when he died and rose again, he left that behind. There's forever a God who's human. There's God the Father, there's God the Son, and God the Spirit, and Jesus is forever also human. He's 100% God, but 100% human. There's a human that's part of the Trinity, and he's clothed in our humanity. But what in this story ministers to me is that people often think of God as like this standoff God, this sort of sovereign God that's just makes demands, gives orders, orchestrates stuff, but is removed. He's far away, removed. But when God became human in the person of Jesus, he was saying to us that I'm anything but removed from your fallenness and your brokenness. I've entered into it. I've clothed myself with it. I've participated in it. I'm not at a distance, rejecting you, grading you, just governing you. I've entered into your humanity. And so that when he sees Mary weeping, the human God weeps. See, this is the thing Jesus is, one of the things he's trying to say to them is, I want you to understand who God actually is. Because the Jewish people, again, thought of God as this distant perfectionist because he's holy. But Jesus is revealing the fact that God is love, so much so that he took on humanity and he weeps with us and he weeps for us. He's not separate and distant from what you go through and your pain. He's joined himself to your humanity and he participates in it. I remember one time something happened and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, that really hurts me. And Jesus said, it hurts me too, Chuck. And I thought, I just started listening. And he said, I have clothed myself in your humanity. And what hurts you hurts me. I participate in your humanity. I take on your, I don't rebuke you for being confused. I don't rebuke you for unbelief. I take on your humanity. I participate in your pain. And I'll bear it, but I'll do it without sinning. You know how we get hurt and then we get into sin because of it? We either get angry or we get frustrated or we get fearful or we get anxious or we get worried or we get resentful, whatever. Jesus doesn't do that. And he's joined us, this God who weeps, to participate in our humanity and to liberate us from the sinfulness of it all. That means a lot to me, that when I go through something that hurts, what he sets me free from, if someone does something to hurt me, he joins me in the hurt, but he heals me and sets me free from being hurt with them. He joins himself to my pain and bears it, and then he invites me to join him and be hurt for that person because their own brokenness caused them to do that instead of being hurt with that person. Only a God who could step into our stuff can do that. And then when he steps into that, like that day when I said, Lord, this really hurt me. And he said, it hurt me too, Chuck. And I've clothed myself in your humanity so I can participate in your pain and bear your pain without sin, promising you that in this situation, new life will come forth because I am the resurrection. No matter how much something seemed to have died or how much it seems to be full of emotional death and yuck, I will bring forth resurrection. I will bring forth life. You will see my glory manifest, but I will also bring forth life because I'm the resurrection. The one who's clothing himself in your pain is the resurrection. This thing may not ever be like you once was, but I will bring forth life out of this because I'm the resurrection. If you'll just trust me, let me bear it. See, that's where things end up being like, and God causes all things to work together for good. He doesn't cause all things, but he brings life out of everything. He is the Redeemer. He redeems everything. He's the resurrection. And he's intimately involved in it, not from a distance. Because it is true, because I'm in union with Christ, that I've been woven into the fabric of his existence. But that's equally true that he's been woven into the fabric of my existence. And what I go through, he goes through. But he bears it without sinning. So I don't have to get into all the yuck, all the depression, all that kind of nonsense. Because he's resurrection and life. And I know that the one who's bearing the sorrow or bearing the pain or bearing the confusion or whatever, he's doing without sinning. And he's saying to me, you will see life here. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.